let's say, over CNN.
Oh, good, thanks. That so makes me feel relaxed.
Oh, excuse me. This is a tape for your, for posterity, for your kids and grandkids, you know. I mean, when they won't go to sleep, and then your Angela will say, oh, let Grandpa tell you a story. So we'll do it first in standard English.
Okay. The Maui story, standard English version, part one. Maui commanded his brothers to paddle their canoe into deep waters, far beyond the regular fishing grounds. He then told them to turn the canoe around and paddle home as hard as they could, making sure not to look back. He then tossed his fish hook into the sea. His brothers paddled and paddled. Suddenly, something seemed to be carrying them further out to sea. They thought Maui had caught a fish. He told them to paddle harder and not to look back. But the brothers wondered what could be pulling them out to sea with such strength. They were so curious to know it, what it was, that they turned back to look. They were so surprised at what they saw that they stopped paddling. Maui was pulling up islands out of the sea.
Okay, so
this is hard, huh? Oh, see. Well, Maui told his brothers to paddle the canoe into the deep waters, way out beyond the regular fishing grounds. He told them to turn the canoe around and hook him home as hard as they could, making sure not to look back. He went throw his fish hook into the sea, and our brothers, they paddled and they paddled. Suddenly, something went catch him and pull him out to sea. So they thought Maui had caught one fish. He told them to hook it harder and not look back. But the brothers, they curious, so they went look behind and see what could be pulling them, because strong. So they was curious to know what it was, and when they looked back, they were so surprised at what they saw. They stopped paddling because Maui was pulling up islands out of the sea.
Oh, great. Okay, now, well, we're going to round it up, and then we'll talk some more, but how about reading, this is the pigeon version, and I don't know, have you seen written pigeon like that, or is it
I mean, people read, write joke books or whatever, you know.
Well, not pigeon to the man.
Maui went tell his brothers to paddle the canoe far into the ocean, past the place that they always used to go. And then he went tell them to turn the canoe around and paddle home as hard as they could. But he went tell them no look back. Maui went throw his hook inside the water. And then his brothers went paddle and paddle. All of a sudden something started pulling him back into the water. They thought Maui went go catch one fish. Maui went tell them again for paddle hard and no look back. But his brothers was nosy. I seen the alien. How come they was being pulled out? His brothers were so nosy, they went turn their head for look. They were so shocked that they went stop paddling. Eh, look what way how he went catch. He stayed pulling up islands.
Tell me about the Miranda ride.
Oh, okay. Well, you asked if it was written down. And to my knowledge, it wasn't officially written down in Pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
Although various people may have written their own version.
Mm-hmm.
However, the rules governing the giving of Miranda rights state that you try to give it in a manner in which the person can understand it. The standard wording that most people hear on TV, you have a right to remain silent and all that sort of thing, is really a general guideline. It's a guideline that most people kind of follow it. But the key issue with Miranda is, does the person understand their rights?
Mm-hmm,
so you give them their rights in a method in which they can understand. So I have on many a times when I was doing interrogations, not just sat there and said, you have a right to remain silent, anything you say can be used against you in a court of law, you have a right to an attorney. I brought, you know that you're under arrest right now. You know that you cannot go. You know that you don't have to talk to me. Nobody can say you got to talk to me. If you'd like somebody to come over and be with you, we can call somebody to come stay with you. But, because you cannot go right now, and you don't have to talk to me, but if you'd like to talk to me, you'd like one lawyer. You know what a lawyer is? You know what an attorney is, a lawyer? You know what that is? Yeah, okay. You know, and you talk like that. You put it in a way in which they understand.
Is that the whole Miranda?
Oh, no, it goes on and on.
How long is it?
Oh, it depends on how I'm saying it. But the bottom line of Miranda is that the person has to know that they are not free to go.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it custodial and interrogatory.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not part of Miranda, but anyway. They have to know that they are not under an obligation to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
They have to know that they have the ability or the right to have counsel of their
mm-hmm.
choice. And counsel of their choice can be an attorney, that's generally what it's recognized
mm-hmm.
as, or it can be anybody else, any other competent individual that they want to talk to.
Mm,
okay.
I didn't know that.
They have to know that everything they say is not secret, but
mm-hmm.
can be used. It will be documented, it can be used.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Miranda says, you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to counsel to an attorney or counsel of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I've done
it. Yeah, if you don't have an attorney, the court.
If you don't have an attorney, one will be provided for you
uh-huh.
without free of charge, without uh-huh. cost to you. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you ask, do you want an attorney now? Uh-huh. Do you want to speak to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I've done one.
Yeah, I know.
But again, so you know,
okay.
for a person who comes in and says, yeah, well, how come I'm arrested? Well, for you guys, we arrest me. I never do nothing. I'll bust you, brother. You know what I mean? I'm not going to tell him like that. I'm going to say, hey, brother, you know, you don't have to talk to me. You know, if you like to talk to somebody, can I? You can have an attorney, or you like somebody smart, like when your friend is real smart, you like to talk to him, you can talk to him. You know, and what you tell me, I'm not going to be secret, you know, I couldn't tell the judge. I'm going to write them down. I'm going to tell the judge, and everybody's going to know what you tell
mm-hmm.
me. And so you don't have to talk to me if you don't want to. And no worry if you can afford it, because if you no can afford the attorney, we're going to get one for you. No going to charge you. You know, no cost to you, no going to charge. So you can have one free, you know. So you like one attorney? Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know, you understand what I told you, you know. Yeah, yeah. You sure know? Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll ask him, tell me back. What did I just tell you? You know, you told me I don't have to talk to you. And what else? Yeah, if I like one lawyer, I can have one. And what if you can't afford them? Oh, then you guys going to pay for me? Yeah. Okay. You'd like to talk to me? Yes or no?
And that, so that's it. That's the Miranda right.
Yeah, basically.
How interesting.
People say it's down to the Australians.
What do you say? I don't know if I can convert it to pidgin or not, because I literally trained myself not to speak in pidgin.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
For years.
What, because of school, after school, before school, during school?
Yeah, you know, because to get ahead in the world, it was a matter of, you know, if you talk, the better you spoke,
uh-huh.
you know, the better your advantage is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
where were you born?
I was born in California, but I was raised here.
In California? Where in California?
San Diego.
Ooh, like Michael.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I came here. I just turned 7 years old when we came here.
So you were right to go into elementary school.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I just started in elementary school, and grew up here in Kailua.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And matter of fact, in this neighborhood here.
Yeah.
These buildings here didn't used to be here. This was
yeah.
a quarry.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
And I used to hike over the mountain here from the quarry to the other side to go
yeah.
fishing.
Oh, yeah. Francisco loves fishing.
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
So right. And then when you came here, how big was your family?
Oh, well, there's five children and the two parents. So
and you were the youngest?
No, actually, I'm in the middle.
You were in the middle.
I have
middle.
An older brother and an
uh-huh.
older sister
uh-huh.
and a younger brother, a younger
oh,
sister, so
okay.
I'm right in the middle.
Oh, you're right in the middle. And so then you start going to school here, and
yeah.
did you notice the difference between Standard English and Pidgin?
No, I didn't.
Uh-huh.
I never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I never realized it until, I guess I must have been somewhere around 12 years old or so.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, who'd come here in the military,
mm-hmm.
Was running a retail store. It was
okay.
actually a flooring shop.
Uh-huh.
And I used to go in after school.
Yeah.
And just, you know, help out in the shop and all
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
And what had happened is my dad would start calling me over. Jeff, excuse me, what's this guy saying?
Yeah.
You know,
oh, God.
And, you know, he kind of quietly on the side. What's the guy? What does he want? What's he saying? What's he asking?
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, he wants to know, you know, what's this made out of, or where did this come from, or what's the price, or, you know.
You were translating.
Yeah, but I didn't know I was until I kind of realized. I said, Deb, you know, because you can't understand the guy, the guy's just talking to you, you know. And my dad, you know, I can't really understand him, talking pidgin, you know. But in school, it was just the way we talked. But even to this day, I don't think of it as being any kind of different language. I couldn't understand why anybody couldn't understand it. It's more a matter of inflection and a few word changes. It's not as dramatic as what you hear maybe, like from what I see on TV, of people from maybe Africa or Jamaica or something like that, where they have a almost totally different language. It wasn't that dramatic. But you'd pick up different words because it was a combination of mostly English with a few Hawaiian words and a few Japanese words and a few Filipino words and a few Chinese words.
That's right.
And nobody really knew which words were which. They all just kind of...
But everyone knew.
Everyone knew.
That's so amazing.
The way you talk.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
Nowadays I hear people talking, and maybe it's my perception, it sounds just more like they're just mangling the English language more than speaking pidgin. Because again, there was, especially the older
You can
people,
actually tell a difference in between what you used to hear when you were young and what you hear now.
There's a definite difference. And you hear it now among the older people.
You mean that true pidgin?
Well, more like what I remember.
You
know, and by older people, I mean, say, people in their 60s and beyond. And you'll hear, when they're talking pidgin, it'll be a lot different than what you hear, say, a high school kid talking now. Because I think pidgin came about, I mean, I'm not studied or knowledgeable about
but
it,
that
you
would
know,
like
but it would, my... Again, just my own personal thoughts, you know, which could be way wrong. But pidgin came about as a result of the fact that you had people with a particular language trying to communicate with people of a different language.
That's
and
right.
Here you have Hawaii with Hawaiians, Japanese, Chinese, Puerto Ricans, the Haoles, and everybody else, right? And so in order to communicate, everybody pick up a little bit from each other and be able to... You have this hodgepodge language, right? And it came, it carried on. It carried on. And like I say, I kind of trained myself not to speak pidgin because pidgin was the language of the uneducated.
When did they tell you that? When did you, because until 12 years old, you really never picked it up.
I don't know, you know, I just, from living life. You know what I mean? But it was just...
Like in school, did anyone say it in school? Any of your teachers say it?
Not really. It was just kind of one of those social awarenesses, you know what I mean? Where pidgin was the language, or it, you know, it really was, it seems, I'm trying to think back. I don't know,
no, that's good.
Question it. I'm thinking because pidgin was seen to me the language of the uneducated. The uneducated were usually the ones that ended up being disadvantaged. By today, they call it disadvantaged. You know, the poor, broke, and whatever. Because so, just anyway, and I think today the you hear people talking kind of a form of pidgin, but their educational level, even though they may be uneducated by our standard today. The base where they started from was a higher education level than people of 20, 30,
and
or 40 years ago. You see what I'm saying? Just what you pick up on TV, the kids now are more educated than they were 20 years ago. You know what I mean? So.
Do you remember maybe, did your father or your mother ever say anything? Did they ever say, no, don't speak like that? That's
no,
right.
Not really.
And your friends wouldn't say that because that's the way they spoke.
We spoke. And, you know, I'm just thinking back. You know, my parents were never really, you know, said... between two worlds. I drifted between two worlds. I drifted between the world of my family. Caucasians from the mainland, mainland educated, speaking like mainlanders, and their peer group, and people they knew. And my dad was military, so we associated with a lot of people coming from the mainland. And the other world, which was my neighborhood, mm-hmm. my friends, my schoolmates, mm-hmm. and they ranged everywhere from Kailua, Kaneohe, Wamanalo.
Mm-hmm.
They came from local backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would slip between...
No problem.
No problem. And
you were accepted by both sides.
Yeah. And it's like I'm thinking as I'm talking because I never have in my life really sat down and thought about it.
Really? Ooh.
And it's just a matter of because, you know,
you have a book
back,
out here, you know, a book. A movie of the week.
Yeah, but because I was no different than anybody else or any other person of Caucasian ancestry who was in the same position
mm-hmm.
I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true though, you know, with one group, you know, everything would be, you know, Dakai and Dis and Malkadad and whatever, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And with another group, it was, you spoke correctly,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey, what about your other friends? You had friends, let's say children from other military families that were about your age. Were they ever able to accommodate like you did, adjust like you did?
I don't know, because I've never thought about it. It was just...
Were they able to go with you and school friends and kind of mingle?
You know,
I tried to figure out if it was your attitude. Maybe your attitude had a lot to do
well,
with it.
Maybe. Because there was a definite
boundary. Mm-hmm.
Boundaries that some people didn't seem to be able to pass.
Mm.
You know, and so, and it just seems to me that, you know, as human nature being what it is,
mm-hmm.
people associate with like people.
Mm-hmm. What about your younger brother and sister? Were they able to do it? Was it easier for them than the older brother and sister?
I think so, yeah. A lot easier. My older brother, he's only 5 years older than I.
Mm-hmm.
What made him 12 or 13?
Mm-hmm.
When he came here, I guess his speech and thought patterns were already established. But then again, now he's maybe an exception too because he's an extremely intelligent
mm-hmm.
person. He's a Mensa.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, there's a group within Mensa which is the top, you know, 10% or
1%. What's
of
the IQ there? The average IQ is what?
whatever the standard is for genius level IQ in the United States.
Yeah.
You're that or above to be in it.
Okay.
So he's
okay.
A, you know, like a certified genius,
yeah.
right?
Hey, what does he
and
do?
He hung around with the other smart people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they generally spoke pretty well.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But yeah, like my younger brother, you know, he was like me. You know, we a lot of times more of our friends were local
mm-hmm.
From say Wamanalo
mm-hmm.
or Kahalu or, you know, places
mm-hmm.
which are kind of the local
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your Mensa brother ever try to pick up teachers?
Well spoken.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
spoke standard
yeah.
English.
So I think it's just, you know, you adapt to your environment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you
yeah,
pick
yeah,
up the way
you
And I would not know, even today, if when I speak, if there is any kind of detectable difference between the way I speak and the way anybody else from the mainland they would speak
uh-huh.
from California or something like that.
No,
except for on occasion, people have, say we meet, we start to talk and very quickly go, oh, you're local, huh? And I don't know, it's just from the way you talk.
Ah.
Matter of fact, it almost got me in big trouble when I was in Vice. I used to be a narc.
Yeah? Why?
And going in to make a buy, and I had an informant I was working that I'd been introduced to and that I was going to work with, and we had not really spoken, and we'd been together for a couple hours, and we were just about to go in to make a buy on a drug dealer, and this guy was well known for being very violent and dangerous and all that.
A
serpent. No, not really. But I said something, and the guy just went completely white, froze. He said, "We can't go in." I said, "Why? What's the problem?" He says, "You're local." So what do you mean I'm local? He said, "You won't deal with anybody local." So So how are you going to know? It's just the way you talk.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I suppose that there is an inflection.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ray, like now I'm talking, I'm thinking about how I'm talking, so I'm trying to talk good.
Yeah.
When I'm relaxed, I would guess that there is an inflection that I don't even notice as an accent, you might say, which is local in style.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's interesting.
But it's one of the things you don't think about.
Yeah,
it's just
that's
the way
interesting.
You, the way
and
you
then
talk.
Depends on who you are with, too, right? Like, for example, when you are with people you interview that are local or are Creole speakers, Pidgin speakers, you could easily slip and they wouldn't notice a difference, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a shifting of gears. It's like I say, right now I'm thinking about who I'm with, where I'm at, what I'm talking about. And so I'm trying,
I want you to pretend that I'm from Waimanalo because I would like to figure out.
But,
you see, in...
But I don't do it, you know what I mean? I'm thinking about it, but I'm not thinking about it. I'm only thinking about the fact that I'm thinking about it. I don't know.
I think we call that metacognition or something like that.
Well, it's true. Like, I work in Cali.
Yeah.
And when I'm working in Cali, there's a lot of people who don't speak good English, speak Pidgin. You get a lot of Filipino, Filipino, what you call Filipino Pidgin. And so, the way I talk,
But you're so white. You're in white hair, which I'm sure is because of the job.
It's complicated. Yeah. I call it silver blonde.
What do they say when you start speaking like that? Because I remember in California, you know, I'm Oriental, and sometimes I would be with Latino kids or Mexican kids, and then I would start speaking Spanish, and they would just freak. So I wonder, how do they handle it when you start communicating?
No detectable response because they're used to it. I mean, this is where they grew up, and they know that they're not speaking clean English, and it's not out of the ordinary to them. I mean, there's a lot of us.
No, but you, the
Caucasian
fact that you,
a lot of Haoles that grew up in Hawaii, and we all speak the way we speak. This is, you know, this is where we grew up. This is home, and so. It's not out of the ordinary, you know, in Kalihi and Waianae and Waimanalo, you see a lot of people that are predominantly Caucasian ancestry, but they were born and raised here, and they were born and raised in some of the, you know, like I say, Kalihi, Waianae, Waimanalo, and that's the language of their that they're brought up with, that they speak. They don't, you know, they don't think about it any more than I think about it, you know.
That's
it's just,
do you think it's an advantage for you to be able to speak the way local people speak in your job?
Probably, I think so, because
then you don't need a translator.
You need to have a basis of trust, and if you have a shared background and shared experiences, then people can relate to you. If I can sit there and say, "Hey, brother, you know, I know what you're talking about. Hey, he's depressed, brother. He's depressed, man. You know what I mean? Because I know he's under tension and all that."
Yeah.
But I know that you're feeling stressful and tension at the moment. He's not going to relate, but hey, brother, you know, yeah, I know the pressure. He's the pressure, bro. You know, we have a common denominator.
Okay.
You know, we speak the same language. We talk in the same language.
One of the topics, I think, it is always the Pidgin or Creole in the schools. And most of the kids, like we're talking about, most of the kids have grown up with Pidgin, you know, as part of their lives. And a lot of times they go to school and then the teacher tells them, you know, well, you cannot speak that here, and that's bad English, and we're only going to speak good English. And it creates a lot of psychological barriers for some of them, and, you know, lack of self-esteem and all of that. Now, you have gone to school here, now you're a successful person, and you can use both codes. Don't you think that kids, native, local Hawaiians can use both codes or learn to?
Sure.
And how would you approach that in the school system, for example?
Well, I don't know how to approach it, but I think you're right. It's an advantage to have both codes. And it's not just Hawaiians, and I think that's an important point. It's not just Hawaiians. You know, Hawaiians, Filipinos, Chinese, Japanese, Portuguese, Samoan, Haole. It's not your ethnic background. It's what was your environment as you were raised? Mm-hmm. For example, where were you raised?
Mm-hmm. Where I was raised in California, in Peru, in Lima and in California.
Okay. Yeah. You have an accent. Where's that accent from?
I guess
you may not notice it.
Oh, no, I know I do.
Okay. Where's that accent
I know I do.
From?
I think, it's from Peru. It's Peruvian accent.
Yeah. So, but it's not because you're of any particular ethnic background.
Mm-hmm.
It's because when you were growing up,
mm-hmm.
and the things in your brain that whatever it is that makes language what it is to you took on certain characteristics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Certain words have certain characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
The way you learn to pronunciate A, B, C, D, E, R, G, L, whatever, is ingrained in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to change that. No matter what you do, you're not going to change that.
So then, that being part of the pidgin,
so that's
a lot of teachers are not going to change.
Because pidgin today really is more of an accent than
mm-hmm.
a language.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, it was a language. And I think that when I first started, that's what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
To me, and this is my own personal opinion, it could be way wrong, right? But pidgin, once upon a time, was a language.
Mm-hmm.
It was a language, and it had a culture to that language. Today, it's really more of an accent than a language,
mm-hmm.
because you don't hear anything different than standard English words, with very few exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And those exceptions are what is environmentally appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people say, oh, you know, how do you get to the beach? Go Makai, you know, go Mauka,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you get there? Well, you go Mauka till you get over to Pali,
mm-hmm.
and then you go and turn right, you go down, you know, all this, right? Well, Mauka is towards the mountains, and Pali is, well, you know, that's, you know, geographically and environmentally descriptive and correct,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you very rarely hear people say, like, you know, talking about old people, talking about the Mukuli
mm-hmm.
people. You know, half these guys wouldn't know what Mukuli is. Mukuli is older people by the old days. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just picking random words.
Okay,
but I think that once it was really a language.
What about words like
and had it probably had guidelines that
mm-hmm.
could be defined.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's really more of an accent,
mm-hmm.
which is a local accent.
Mm-hmm.
With some smattering of words thrown in.
Like stay, for example, or the kind.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to stay calm, right?
Yeah, stay calm.
You're going to stay go, you know?
Stay go, that's what I think,
you
know. Things like
and
that.
And the kind and all that. That's mixed in, and that makes it pidgin by most people's standards now because it's kind of mangled up English, you know, with a few. But I guess the point to get back to is that, but I still think, you have to be recognized that this is how people talk in the schools. You can't expect a kid to come into school and go, hey, you can't talk like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to speak like this. You know, that's not how a kid talks.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be so worried about how he talks, he can't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think, like I said, I learned to train myself to speak differently because I had seen two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
One world, people were successful. Lived comfortable lives, you know, had the things that I wanted in life.
Mm-hmm.
They spoke well.
Mm-hmm.
One world was kind of comfortable and fun because we hung out on the beach a lot and drank beer and partied and had a blast, but nobody was successful. Nobody had a future. No one had a hope.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I made a differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
I made an association. You don't speak good, that's how you end up.
Mm-hmm.
You speak well, you end up on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I developed that differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to let people speak how they speak.
Mm-hmm.
Talk how they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Accept it. But teach them
mm-hmm.
that there is another way to speak
mm-hmm.
too. And it's not necessarily because of success or failure.
Mm-hmm.
But say, hey, recognize that there is a different speech pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do both, it's okay to talk how you are,
mm-hmm.
but learn to talk the other way too, because it will serve you well no matter where, you know, no matter what you do in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but because it sounds very much like I'm saying the only way you can succeed is by speaking well. There's a lot of very successful people who,
Frank de Lima,
you know, speak pidgin and whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's
Well,
so it should be. I think it should be accepted in the schools that kids talk the way they talk.
Yeah.
but at the same time direct them to, hey, we live in America, we speak the English language, that's the language of the nation, mm-hmm. learn to speak it well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think the fact that you're granting it, that it should even be recognized, mm-hmm. that's far ahead mm-hmm. from a lot of people here. And
yeah. I don't know if it's
maybe
recognized as a separate language, a mm-hmm. second language, but
no,
as a
Hawaiian
separate
is
speech
yeah.
pattern.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's it has very peculiar phonological characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I have my daughter now who is Paulina. She's 9 years old, and she already has picked up a couple of, like for example, the ya after
mm-hmm.
every sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, being a foreigner myself, you know, I don't tell her, oh, no, that's bad English.
Mm-hmm.
Don't speak like
mm-hmm.
that. But like you said, it's always so beneficial when you can introduce them to both codes, if possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, she'll get the standard English
mm-hmm.
code in the home.
Mm-hmm.
She'll get the local code
yeah.
in her peer group.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I guess she'll be like everybody else
mm-hmm.
that I grew up with. They'll shift from one to the other
mm-hmm.
according to who they're with. You know, if I'm with you, I speak like this. So if I'm sitting around with a bunch of guys I grew up with,
that's when I should tape you, when you're with the guys.
Yeah.
So let's see. What I would
what
like
am
you
I supposed to
do
with this?
Yeah, here. You're supposed to read it. Read. Now, let's see. You can tell it without reading.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Okay. Once upon a time, huh?
Okay.
Oh. Well, the story of Maui. Maui went fishing with his brothers. And he told the brothers to go paddle because they're going to go way outside to the fishing grounds. Huh? So they went to paddle out, and he told the brothers to go paddle real hard and fast because he's going to throw the hook. So he went throw the hook in the water. And the brothers, they went hooky and hooky and paddle hard, huh? And make them go fast. And suddenly they caught one fish. What they thought was one fish, but they went to start pulling the canoe. They tried to pull. But they pull in the canoe, but they went pull and pull and paddle so hard that Maui thought, no look, but they were curious, huh? So they went look behind, and they're like, no, because there's an alien. So they look behind, what could be, and they were so surprised, because what they see was they were pulling islands out of the sea instead of a fish.
Great.
I don't know.
Taping you anyway.
Yeah.
Why, try to remember some of these old words, and don't tell me.
Yeah, I don't know if I could still put it into the story, but they say, well, you know, hooky would be for paddle for pull.
Hooky.
Yeah, and because hooky is actually pull.
Okay.
You know, and it's not really the word for paddle, but, you know, it would do. People would know. You thought
okay.
Hooky would be pull. Nele is curious.
Nele.
Yeah, the nosy.
Nele
is to be nosy.
Okay.
So, they, you know, somewhere in there you probably say, instead of being so curious, you say the brothers was Nele.
Uh-huh.
They like to know what's going on. Eh? And when he hooked up the fish, or
mm-hmm.
they thought he hooked up, he hana pa'a. He hana pa'a.
No pa'a.
Hana pa'a.
Uh-huh.
So rather than, you know, they thought he would hook one fish, they'd say something like they went hana pa'a one fish.
Mm-hmm.
They went hana pa'a.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you those kinds of words would have been actually in the story. Like I said, you know, I mean, here's 20 years plus later in my life, and but I really
you don't use those words.
We
then.
Don't use the words.
So
now.
You use more the accent and the tone,
yeah.
but not those words.
Yeah,
because do you think if you were to use them, would someone know them?
Oh yeah, I think
they
so.
Would know.
I think so. You know. But really, no,
so
but inflection is important.
Uh-huh.
See, again, I've never, like, studied pidgin,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I do know that inflection is important. That's why people consider on local people and they're talking about dakain.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows what dakain is in that particular context.
Mm-hmm.
In that particular, and it's not because they said dakain
mm-hmm.
or dakain, it's the inflection that was given to the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And by the inflection in pidgin is very important because it's the inflection that tells you what the guy's talking about.
Mm.
You know, it's the inflection that makes a statement or a question. It's the statement that directs it to And I don't know what the mechanism is, mm-hmm. but you just know mm-hmm. based on inflection.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very emotional kind of way of speaking. Because the words sometimes are really not the right words. They're mm-hmm. really not appropriate. Huki is pull, it's not paddle.
Mm-hmm.
But if I know they're in a canoe and I know they're huki,
mm-hmm.
they're huki. I mean, I know they're paddling hard.
Mm-hmm.
If I say they're huki, they're canoe, we need to pull the canoe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're huki and huki, you know, mm-hmm. I know that they're paddling because of the inflection. So, but yeah, the words would be, you know, somewhat different.
So it seems that they are Hawaiian words then.
Hawaiian, and again though, you got to remember, it depends on who you're talking to. Because
mm-hmm.
if, you know, a Japanese guy would mix in Japanese words, a Chinese
mm-hmm.
guy, a Filipino guy would mix in that, and a lot of them kind of mix up the two, or
the
three,
two
or four, whatever it might
mm-hmm.
be,
mm-hmm.
depending on what the predominant ethnic mm-hmm. background is mm-hmm. in the area, more of those words would infiltrate into it. So there's no, like, in pidgin, if you want to say this is the words you use.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a list of three or five or seven or
mm-hmm.
whatever words that's going to mix in there,
yeah.
depending on you in Waimanalo or you in
mm-hmm.
Kalihi.
Mm-hmm.
Waimanalo, you get a lot of Hawaiians.
Mm-hmm.
In Kalihi, you get a lot of Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Waimanalo, I can tell Papa, I mean, I can tell Tutu, right? You know. In Kalihi, I can talk to Nana.
Nana?
Yeah, Nana.
In which, what
yeah.
does that
that's
mean?
That's like Tutu in Hawaiian, Nana. In the
Tutu
Filipino.
Means?
That's the older lady.
Oh, Tutu,
yeah.
Nana.
Tata,
yeah.
Nana,
yeah.
Tata
yeah.
is the old man, Nana is the old lady.
Yeah, Nana.
But it's like respectful.
Mm.
So when I used to, like I say, I did a number of different things in my
mm-hmm.
career. One of them is that I spent several years in Vice, and one of my assignments for a couple of years in Vice was the gambling detail. What I did primarily was go arrest people for chicken fights.
Oh!
Okay? Now, that was my assignment. I did my job. Predominantly Filipino.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd walk, hey, Nana.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
to talk to me, oh, what would happen over here when Lelo Gomanu? Let go of the chicken. Okay, so those kind of things would come into that's kind of more like pidgin because you talk about, hey, last Saturday we went down a chicken fight with a guy with Lelo Gomanu. You know, this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
That's where you get the mixture of languages that
mm-hmm.
comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a Waimanalo though, I'm not going to go talk to Nana. I may talk to Tutu. And my voice inflection will be definitely different.
How would it be?
It's going to be softer.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be softer. Because of cultural differences between, say, Filipino and Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to an area, Aiea, wherever, mm-hmm. you know, like it's mostly Japanese,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to speak with a different voice inflection there. It's going to be more appropriate to that culture.
So what I should do is I should follow you on
this.
We should go everywhere.
You know, I mean, like I said, I've never really taken
yeah.
time to
yeah.
think about it,
yeah.
but, you know, now sitting here thinking about it, it is kind of interesting because,
mm-hmm.
again, the inflections in the pidgin
mm-hmm.
are important, and they change from who you talk to. I took a phone call from a guy today,
mm-hmm.
An older man
mm-hmm.
from Aiea, but his wife goes to an older folks
mm-hmm.
center in Kalihi,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Kalihi,
and, so he calls me, hey, brother, I need some help there. You know, but this is a Japanese guy, you know,
oh.
but this, he's older man,
yeah.
he's probably in his 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, brother, I need some help there. You know, the Mokuli place down Narakila side,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is the way, it, you know, that's more like the pidgin, you know. Hey, you know, they get that one traffic safety problem over there, and so it's not like they're speeding too fast, you know, but, you know, the old folks, they walk slow, but
yeah.
the light no more too long, so, you know, the guys, they don't like stop, you know. And, yeah, and so this is the way they talk,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you get a different,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know if I'm explaining.
No, you are. Like, I have the example of Kalihi and then this one. What about someone from Waimanalo when you say you would be a little softer? Like
well, if I'm talking to, say, the Tutu, the older lady, the grandma, Tutu's grandma,
mm-hmm.
from Waimanalo,
mm-hmm.
See, the Filipino, you can talk, the speech by language is very clipped,
mm-hmm.
very short. So even when you're just using an accent, you couldn't be a little more clear. In, no, no. But can go over here by, let go by garden, because I can look over there for a guy. You know, I'm going to talk a little fast, a little quick.
Uh-huh.
Well, if I talk to Tutu like that, she's going to get offended.
Uh-huh.
If you listen to the older Hawaiian ladies, they speak generally. There's exceptions,
yeah,
but I just
yeah.
say the stereotypical.
Yeah.
Okay, the stereotypical okay. one is going to be a slower, softer,
mm-hmm.
More lilting kind of voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk to her, I'm, excuse me, Tutu, you mind if I go walk through your garden, come around over here? Can I like go look at the guy over there? You know, it's going to be a song, it's just a respect type
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if I'm, but you know, again, it's going to change. If I'm talking to a young guy who's going to challenge me, it's going to be different.
No,
you know what I mean? It's going to be different.
Yes.
It's going to be very aggressive,
yeah.
very strong. You know what I mean? So it's.
But that's interesting. And how and you learn all of this just by trial and error, by experience, by observation?
Frankly, I didn't. It's like I said. This is the first time in my life sitting here right now that I've ever tried to even think about it. I have no idea. It's not something I've learned as far as those differences.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is I'm thinking out loud to you
mm-hmm.
about
thank you.
About things that I've never thought about. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm totally wrong. You know what I mean?
Well, but
I'm
that's
just saying,
your
but
feeling.
I'm going, okay, when I go to this place, this is how I talk. When I'm
mm-hmm.
dealing with this situation, this is how I talk.
And you
these
never
the
thought
kind
about
of words
it before.
I would
you
use.
Just... It
that's
just
right.
it just came from you
yeah.
that when you were talking to the Filipino lady.
That's why to read the Maui story is wonderful, except for there's a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
I have no audience.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Pidgin is an interactive language.
Uh-huh.
Pidgin is a very interactive language.
That's true.
You know.
Well,
so
I think we should do
yeah.
it again, and you select the audience, maybe the people
but
of the precinct.
I've been trying to. But it's so hard because it is interactive and there's no interaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Once you've established the baseline, I guess, then you can go. But
yeah.
But because it is, at this point in my life, to try to talk, you know,
mm-hmm.
pidgin
to
for the purposes,
it, yeah,
it's effective.
Yeah.
And so it's not, you know, it's not right. But like I say, if I was sitting and actually had, say, a bunch of little kids
yeah,
in front of me,
yeah.
words like, you know, hanapa'a and huki and you know, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the word for the fish place? But anyway,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
for the ocean and the canoe, those words may have come out just
yeah.
naturally
yeah.
without thinking. When I think of it, they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing. It's like when I think about it, it's not there.
Yeah.
But I will sometimes catch myself in the middle of a conversation. It's like I'm outside of myself listening to me going,
really?
Oh, okay, that's different. You know what I mean? Yeah. When I'm not thinking about it, it's there. The words
yeah.
come and the
yeah.
language is there.
Yeah.
It's because it is just how you are.
Well, we're going to round it up and then we'll talk some more. But how about reading? This is the pidgin version.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, have you seen written pidgin like that? Or is it
well,
mostly
yeah,
pidgin?
I mean, people write joke books or whatever, and, you
yeah.
know.
Oh, well, not pidgin
yeah,
to the
okay.
man.
Maui
yeah.
went tell his brothers to paddle the canoe far into the ocean, past the place that they always used to go. In the end, he would tell them to turn the canoe around and paddle home as hard as they could. But he would tell them, no look back. Maui would throw his hook inside the water. In the end, his brothers would paddle and paddle. All of a sudden, something started pulling him back into the water. They thought Maui would go catch one fish. Maui would tell them again for paddle hard and no look back. But his brothers was nosy, as in the alien. How come they was being pulled out? His brothers were so nosy, they went turn their head for look. They were so shocked that they went stop paddling. Look what we went catch. He stayed pulling up islands. I've always thought of pidgin as a shortcut language.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. It's a shortcut language.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knows all of the stuff from either side.
Mm-hmm.
Shortcut.
But they
connect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just put them together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the best way to describe it. It's a shortcut language. Yeah,
let me make sure that I have all the information and you, your age. You can tell me your age because this is totally anonymous.
I'm 179 years old.
No. God, you don't look a day over 160.
Oh, actually, I'm 42 years old.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Michael, is that all?
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect age.
Yeah. Really? Well, I'll find out in a couple of years.
Yeah.
In your ethnic background, you were born in San Diego, but what about your parents?
Well, my ethnic background, I'm Caucasian, you know,
mm-hmm.
German, English, Welsh, Irish, Scottish,
okay.
and all that stuff.
Oh, that okay.
My dad was born in Wisconsin and mm-hmm. lived several other places.
Okay.
My mom was born in Maryland but raised in California.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
My dad lived in California for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I was born in San Diego, California, came here when I just turned 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, what a great gift,
you know,
birthday gift.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. You know.
And you live here in Kailua now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now what schools did you attend?
I attended Kailua Elementary, mm-hmm. Kailua Intermediate, and Kailua High School.
Okay.
The only college I had is later on, in the last couple of years, I've started taking a couple of courses here and there, but you know, I never went to college.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not possible anymore, huh? Those are the old professions, the old professionals.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with journalism. I remember, you know, some of the great reporters, they never went to journalism school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so you're taking a couple of courses. Why do you want to get some kind of...
Just for the fun of it.
What classes are they?
Well, I'm not taking it right now, although I may decide to go back maybe next semester or something, or after the summer, because summer is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But... I just started taking courses, whatever happened to fit my schedule and what's available. So I've taken some English. I took English. I took history. I took logic, psychology, biology, you know, all this good old standard.
And you could be accumulating for maybe a BA, eventually a master's?
What's a two-year? AA?
AA,
right?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I guess that would be somewhere along the line. I could eventually get enough credits for that. But mostly I just...